All right. Thank you very much, and welcome to our face-to-face podcast. We hope that you enjoy this. And today we've got kind of a regional story. We've got the coach of the Blackhawk Christian team, Blackhawk Christian, and this is a school in Fort Wayne. It's a school that was started by David Jeremiah, Dr. David Jeremiah, who's pretty famous, and it's a school of about 745 kids, and they are in the next to smallest class as far as enrollment goes when they play in the basketball tournament, but they have been very successful. This year they were 28-3. They won the state tournament at Indiana. They were 23-3 last year when the sectional tournament was stopped because of the COVID-19. And in 2019, and in fact, they probably would have won the tournament last year. And in 2019, they were 28-2, and they won the state tournament then. So they've won two of the last 3 years, and they've won the last two state tournaments. But the reason that we wanted to have them on today was because of their head coach, Mark Davidson. And Mark is just an outstanding guy, and he's got an outstanding story, and also going through some health challenges. So we'll let him tell you about that. And that's what we are here for today, to let you hear the interview that we did not long ago with Mark Davis. So Mark Davidson. So sit back and relax and listen to our interview that we did with Mark Davidson of Blackhawk Christian. All right, welcome to the Face-to-Face podcast. Our guest is Mark Davidson. He's the head basketball coach at the Blackhawk Christian Braves in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The Braves have just won their second state title in 3 years. Probably would have won one last year had the tourney not been shut down by COVID-19. Coach, glad to have you with us on Face-to-Face.
Thank you. It's glad to be here.
What makes the team, what makes Blackhawk Christian such a good team year after year?
Well, I think a lot of it is we're in a unique situation in that we're a K-12 school, and so I actually teach the primary grades PE classes in the morning. So I have kindergartners and first graders, and we just get a bunch of kids that love to play basketball, and we start them young. And, you know, we've obviously had a lot of talent, and when you have a Mr. Basketball that goes through your program, obviously that's gonna translate to a lot of wins. And I think a lot of it had to do with the type of kids that we have and the type of families that we have. And I always said no one wins without talent, but I do believe it's possible to lose with talent. But when you have talent that buys into the things you're telling them, that usually yields good results. And to our kids' credit, they've really bought into what we've asked of them.
Yeah, you had 6'10", Caleb First. He's on his way to Purdue. He's Indiana's Mr. Basketball. Tell me about him and his ability and his character.
Well, he's just total package, you know, just a rare blend of size and skill and athleticism. And then you add the intangibles along with all of those things, where he's just a great teammate and he's a great leader. He's a follower and a great example to the younger players in our program. And Caleb has obviously left a massive imprint on this program. And really, you know, when you have somebody like that go through, your program reaps the benefits of that for years to come.
How important is character development on your team?
Well, that's really why we do it. And, you know, John Wooden is probably many people's hero in coaching. But I was like, John Wooden would quote a guy named Amos Alonzo Stagg, who coached at University of Chicago. And it was a news reporter after a successful season, you know, said, "Coach, wow, that was an unbelievable season." And Coach Stagg said, "I won't know for probably another 20 years exactly what type of season this was." And I've always just tried to remember that in terms of our philosophy, why we do things. And we're really about the long-term product. And, you know, we want to help these young men learn how to follow Christ in this world that is more and more opposed to the gospel of Christ. And so, you know, we feel as coaches that is our primary responsibility. And if we can make them a better basketball player, great. But if that's all we've done, then we've completely missed the boat. And so, you know, we really pray that God will use us to impact our players for eternity.
Well, I'll tell you, your own story is very intriguing. Last fall, you were discovered to have cancer, and you've been very open about it. Tell me about that. Tell me where you're at now, and tell me about that journey.
Yep. Yeah, I was feeling sick really late through the late summer and into the fall, and we knew something was not right. We didn't know what it was. They started doing a bunch of tests, and finally, late October, they discovered I had a large tumor on my right kidney. And so had surgery right away, got the tumor out. They took the kidney with it. They attacked my lymph nodes. They took out 13 lymph nodes. Lymph nodes were positive. And so, but the doctors felt very confident after the surgery that all the cancer was out of my body. I had my first post-surgery scan in February, and that's where they discovered the cancer had spread to my lungs. And so, I guess in many ways, just from a strictly medical standpoint, that diagnosis was worse than the first one, because the type of cancer I have is very aggressive. It's very rare. Now, I just had another scan last week, and the doctor said there is definitely less cancer in my lungs than there was at the scan in February.
That's good.
So I rejoice in that. I praise God for that. I take a chemotherapy pill once a day, and I feel great. You would never guess that I'm sick. My energy's great. My appetite's great. I've been training again, and so I praise God for that. And, I think about the Psalms that says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And I still got breath in my lungs, and as long as I do, I'm going to praise Him.
Yeah, I just was realizing something about the fact that when you do this, you have to handle your daily outlook as far as looking toward the future, and how has it affected that?
Well, what it's really helped me to do is stay in the moment. And this is something that we actually talk with our players a lot about, and this year we talked about it even more. And, you know, we think about even the names of our God. One of His names is I Am. And we talk to our players about that. I was, it's not I will be, or I'm hoping to be, but His name is I Am. And He's present in every moment. And, I've been able to share with people, I've got some nasty stuff in my lungs. That's just the reality of the situation. And this stuff could take my life. But I'm here today. I'm here now. And as long as I'm here, I want to continue to testify and praise the Lord and pray that God continues to use me in the lives of others.
How do you see that affecting your players when they look at you? You have players who come here, obviously, to want a Christian culture, and they want to play basketball, but you've added a whole new dimension to it. How do you see your players responding to you?
You know, I've heard it said that as a coach, it's less about what you teach. It's more about what you emphasize. And my prayer is that as our players come through our program, they realize that the primary emphasis is a relationship with Christ. And, God did a work in my life, and in many ways He used the game of basketball. And I remember after I retired from playing in Europe, I did an interview with a French newspaper, and they asked me, if you could choose one word to describe your career in basketball, what would it be? And I remember I told him, I think the word would be frustrating, because it just was. You know, basketball's frustrating. And but God used that frustration. You know, that's what Romans 8:20 talks about. The entire creation was given over to frustration. It says that God allows that, or God causes that, but He does it for a purpose, and He does that to set us free. And God certainly did that in my life. And I really want to help my players understand we love basketball, greatest game ever invented, in my opinion. But it's never going to satisfy them ultimately the way a relationship with Christ will.
Yeah, tell me about your journey a little bit. First of all, your dad had to have a tremendous influence on you, and what a tremendous coach coming out of Illinois. I actually played for the University of Illinois, I believe. So tell me a little bit about him and what he means to you.
Yeah, my dad had a huge impact on my life, and he accepted Christ when he was in college, and God just really grabbed a hold of him, and he had a coaching philosophy that I have tried to follow, where he understood it was ministry first and the opportunity to help mold the lives of young men. And so my dad has really been my hero as a coach, as a husband, as a father, as a man of God, and I'm so thankful to have that example in front of me. And so he's, in the Illinois Coaches Hall of Fame, and he's won who knows how many games. We've lost track, but he never lost track of why he did it. And, you know, we talk to our kids about that a lot. What we do from a basketball standpoint is pretty similar to what a lot of programs do, but what separates us as followers of Christ is why we do it. And we always go back to Colossians 3:23, whatever you do it heartily as unto the Lord. And when you play with that kind of purpose, man, we ought to be the hardest working players anywhere because of why we do it.
Yeah, and you talk a little bit about your journey as far as basketball goes and playing in France. You played for, tell me a little bit about the stages of your basketball journey.
Yeah, I graduated high scholarship to play at the University of Illinois for Coach Lou Henson. And so I was at Illinois for 2 years, and then I transferred to Trinity International, which is an NAIA school in Chicago. I played there for 2 years. And then in 1995, I graduated college. My wife and I got married, and I had signed with an agent. He set up a bunch of tryouts for me. And I actually was only able to go to one because they had a lockout in 1995 where everything got shut down. And so I went to Europe and absolutely loved it. My wife and I had five boys there in our first 8 years of marriage. We had five boys, and just an unbelievable blessing to be able to play basketball, but to really do it in a different way where God kind of changed the way I viewed the sport, and I viewed it really as an opportunity to proclaim his name rather than something from which I derive my value or my meaning as a person. And so we had a wonderful experience in Europe. I was able to play till I was 33 years old in 2006 when I retired.
And I know family means an awful lot to you. You have coached your sons, and you've adopted a couple of sons from Ethiopia. That had to be a very interesting situation, too. Tell me about that and how that came about.
Yeah, as I said, we had five boys in 8 years. They were all big babies, so they were all C-sections. So we thought we were done with our five. And, you know, God put adoption on our hearts. It was actually at a Stephen Curtis Chapman concert. We just felt God leading us to adoption. We weren't sure how that was ever gonna happen financially, but we just began to pray about it, and you know, God just continued to work, and we adopted twins, actually boy-girl twins. And so, you know, we both wanted a girl. We kind of cheated to get our girl because we adopted, but the twins have been such an unbelievable blessing. And it's like, I tell people, you do something because you think you're trying to be a blessing to someone else, and then all they do is bless you. And the twins are in fourth grade right now. They have been an unbelievable blessing to us. And so that makes seven children total. And, you know, I feel so unbelievably blessed. And, you know, when I think about this cancer journey, the hardest piece of it all is the family piece. You know, if I were a single man, I think I'd have a different outlook. But, you know, when you have a wife like mine and children like ours, it's that's definitely for me the piece that I have kind of wrestled with God on the most.
Now, when I look at you and when I read about you, I think this is a guy that probably should have played football for the University of Illinois. You are a big man. What are you, about 6'4", 6'5", I would say? And at one point, I know that you said I read where you weighed about 270, something along that line. And how has the cancer taken down your weight a little bit?
Yeah, I used to be 6'6". Now, too much heavy squatting has probably bumped me down to about 6'5". But when I retired from playing in Europe, I wanted to keep competing. I'm one of those strange people that loves to compete. And so I got involved in a sport called competitive strongman. And so I started competing about 8 years ago. And actually, the heaviest I got was probably about 315. Hmm. Now, leading up to the surgery, again, I had lost my appetite when I was just not feeling right. And so I ended up losing over 50 pounds, and I was down to about 250. And then I'd say probably the past 3-4 months, I've been holding steady at about 275, which is probably where I'll mm-hmm. stay.
Tell me a little bit about this strongman competition. I know you were still in April. I saw where you were scheduled to do one. Did you get a chance to do that up in Motor City?
Yeah, I competed in Detroit. That was April. And, yeah, I felt pretty good. And then I was able to compete again just this past Saturday. And so I'm thankful to be able to do it. And, again, to me, it's another opportunity where I can give God the glory that he alone deserves. And, you know, for me, it's just kind of scratched that competitive itch that I still have. And, you know, I used to love to play basketball, but it's not as fun anymore because you can't do the things you used to do. But the beauty of strongman is you can continue to get stronger even well into your 40s. And so I'm not quite back to where I was pre-surgery, but I'm getting close.
Now, another goal that I read you had was you could dunk a basketball when you were 13. You said you wanted to dunk it on your birthday every year for how many years, 30 years? How you doing on that?
Yeah, that kind of started after I had retired, and I had a buddy that said, hey, you know, why don't you try to say you could dunk for 30 years? I was like, yeah, why not? Let's give it a shot. And so that came and went. I actually was able to squeak one down this year. This year was probably the toughest one. That rim's looking higher and higher. But I turned 48 in March, and so by God's grace, I'm still squeaking them down.
I know one of the things that you have done across the state, of course, is to have a tremendous influence spiritually. And one story I read that really meant a lot was, I think it was this year's sectional first game against Bluffton. Mm-hmm. You beat Bluffton by over 40 points, and afterwards the coach said he wanted to pray with you. Tell me a little bit about that situation and how what that meant to you.
That was really, really powerful moment, man. And I had never met Coach Carl Grau until just before that game. And we were just talking before the game, as coaches do. And he said, hey, man, I'm a follower of Jesus like you. And if you're okay with it, I'd like to pray for you. And I said, man, let's do it. You know, and I think for him to be able to do that, you know, on a public stage like that. And I've always said, when the body of Christ is the body of Christ, it's a beautiful thing. And Coach Grau is my brother in Christ, and I feel like I've known him for years, even though he was actually a stranger to me going into that game.
Now, you play some teams, obviously, and handle teams very well that are 4A teams. They're bigger than as far as not bigger size-wise, but bigger schools. Do you think that the influence that comes from your testimony from Blackhawk Christian? I know sometimes I would imagine that you have prayer before the games when you're playing teams that are secular teams. What do you think the influence is around the state that comes from Blackhawk Christian winning state championships against some, of course, very secular teams?
You know, we just always pray that God uses us, and you know, the scripture tells us we are to make the most of every opportunity, and so we want to play in such a way that causes people to scratch their heads. And I remember I borrowed that from Pastor Chuck Swindoll, who's one of my favorites. But he said we ought to live in such a way that people will scratch their heads and say, man, what is it about that group right there? There's something different about that group. And, you know, we want to play like that, where our guys are playing all out and they're playing with maximum effort, because that's what Christ deserves. And we always tell them, Christ held nothing back from us. When he marched up the hill to that cross, he held nothing back from us. The very least we can do is give maximum effort for him when we're between the lines on a basketball court. And that's what Romans calls it. That's a reasonable act of worship. And so, you know, we try to view it that way. And who knows how God's going to work. God can use anybody he wants. You know, I've listened to a lot is Bill Stafford, who's an evangelist, but he would say, any old bush will do as long as God sets it on fire. And so, you know, we just pray that God will use us through our actions, through our words.
I want to thank you again for being a part of our podcast here at Face to Face. I've been doing this for many, many years, and I've always tried to end every interview by saying, what's your favorite verse? And you've kind of alluded to that. I imagine it's still Colossians 3:23. Tell us a little bit about how you came to that verse and what that verse means to you.
Yeah, that's always been a really special verse for me, and it was really in college where God really kind of changed the way that I viewed basketball. And basketball, when I was growing up, had become too important in my life, and God had to kind of break me of that. But I think about recently, you know, Colossians 3:23 says all things heartily, and I've oftentimes used that to apply to simple things and routine things and just kind of the mundane tasks that we do every day. Lately, God is showing me that scripture also applies to big things. And I even think specifically about death and about dying. And I say, God, I know you can heal me. That's my desire. And if you choose to do that, I'm going to praise you. But death is the door that you're going to walk me through, then I even want to do that in a way that's honoring to him. And I even want to do that heartily as unto the Lord. And I read about Stephen and the way that he went out, where Jesus stands up. And to me, it's like, if death is the door God's got for me to walk through, then I want to go out like Stephen.
Mark Davidson of Blackhawk Christian, it's been such an honor to meet you. And with our common friends, I know that just kind of, again, shows me that despite what goes on in the world, we've got Christian brothers all around that we can pray for, brothers and sisters that we can pray for, and it's certainly been an honor. Thank you for being a part of this.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Mark Davidson of Blackhawk Christian in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Thank you very much for being a part of our broadcast today, and stay tuned. We'll have more. All right, welcome back. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed our podcast with Mark Davidson. It certainly was a great time being up there with him, and what a great school. They've got so many sports, and it's just amazing what can happen when you allow God to work in the lives of kids. And some people say that athletes who really can't compete, but Mark and his staff and Mark and his players have certainly showed that is not true. So I hope you enjoyed our podcast. And we invite you to check out the archived podcast and check out the other things on our face-to-face website. Our face-to-face website, as you already know if you're here, face2faceradio.com. And we've got a number of things on here that we update periodically, and I hope that you'll check that out. And one of the things that we have done for so many years with face-to-face, the face-to-face radio broadcast that we did, was to finish with a verse. And the verse that we want to finish you with today comes from the book of Psalms. It is Psalm 89:15, and here's what it says. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the presence. And when I think about that verse, I think about Mark, who, even though he's had a tremendous amount of success, still has, still turns to the Lord and still gives God all the praise. And so we thank the Lord for him, and certainly hope that his healing comes about very soon. Hey, that's about it for this podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it. One of the things that we have said for so many years that we leave you with is this: no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.